Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 3. Just to remind you, James is probably the first New Testament book written. It's written around Acts chapter 6. It's probably what propelled James himself as the Lord's half-brother to be the head of the church in Jerusalem, because he certainly wasn't a part of the original 12, but he did get the revelation of this. So I think that's what really how he got the prominence in the first century church. It's about living in light of the kingdom, how we are to behave. That's what the book's about, how we are to behave and live in light of stuff that comes up in life. And there's no doctrine that is different than what Jesus Christ really taught. All the basic truths that Jesus Christ had taught is just compacted down into, you know, this chapters in James. Now, if you remember in chapter 2, we go from, he says to them that, I'm just trying to give you a touch of a background here. You know, faith without works is dead, right? So how you live, if you just know the Bible but you don't live it, what good is your faith? What good is it if you don't help somebody who's standing next to you that has a need, and you just say, oh, God bless, have a great day? You know, this, you have to live. God has given us this thing to live. And then now he's going to go the folly of another aspect of life here, and he's dealing with the teachers. And I think from chapter 3 on, he's dealing with specific people within the church that are all over. Remember, this is to those that are scattered abroad. And he's talking about this next thing. He's going to talk about teachers. It says, verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many teachers. It says masters in King James, but it's the word teachers. And every other translation that I could find uses the word teachers. Be not many teachers. Don't be doing this thing teaching. There shouldn't be too many teachers among us, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Those that teach are scrutinized and will be judged much harsher than the rest. Now, I want you to understand something. This is talking about, remember, a rabbi back in that time would be a man who would be tremendously honored and appreciated and so forth. There's nothing wrong with teaching. There's nothing wrong with the ministry of teaching. Just understand, this is no joke. This is not a game. You will be held to account on a much higher level than anybody else. You know, remember the Pharisees? You do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, well, that ain't going to cut it with the Lord. In fact, this chapter deals with that also. But for in many things we offend all. You know, as every time I open up my mouth, somebody can take it wrong, whether I intended it to be or not. It's just life. Every time you open up your mouth, somebody can take it wrong. You're going to offend. I am going to offend. You have to try hard not to, but you're going to say things that are wrong. And the people who are the perfect police, you know, they're out of their minds, because they're just, if not more so, wrong. You know, every time you judge them, it's usually you're the one guilty of it, you know. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also to bridle the whole body. If you never offended anybody, ever, you're perfect. I don't know any of those people. Jesus Christ was probably the only one who came close, and yet he went out of his way to tell the Pharisees that you are a pissed on wall. That was one of his expressions. You're like an open sepulcher, an open grave. He had many other colorful ways of putting things, but he said it to his people. He says, if you follow them, if your righteousness is not better than their righteousness, you're not even going to go into the kingdom. In other words, they ain't getting in. Now, that's pretty severe, right? So it's not talking about offending in the way of telling the truth about something. Because if you tell the truth about a thing, and especially the Lord is perfect, then that judgment is just and right. It's not about people's feelings. It's about the truth itself. Like lying. If you a severe crime still is bearing false witness, right? In the Old Testament, if you bared false witness against your neighbor and it was found out, you suffered the crime that you accused them of. You were put in jail or killed or had to pay the... Whatever that false witness was, you paid that crime in the law. And it's severe today, even in our own culture. Right? What a person does with their mouth counts. And their words really count. Words are spiritual. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but I want you to realize, if I as a teacher, it's going to give several examples here. If I as a teacher don't watch and discipline my tongue, if I don't think through what I want to say, then I can mislead you and cause you great hurt. You know, it's not like you're all fools, but that's the truth. Nobody goes beyond what they've been taught. And unless the Lord teaches you. So, you will, as an individual, as a teacher, that minister, he will offend. And it's just going to happen. You know, and people around you, no matter who they are, you listen, you learn, but they're going to offend. But a person who doesn't offend, they're perfect. And like I said, the only one I know is Jesus. Behold, we put bits. Now, these are two illustrations. We put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You take a horse, I only know because my son's got him right now, so I'm a little bit more acquainted, but you take that little piece of steel and you put it in this animal's mouth and over his tongue, and this thing, this 2,000-pound piece of muscle, lets you sit on his back and you turn him any which way he wants to go. That's how powerful that is. And it's an illustration. Second illustration, behold, ships, which though they are so great and are driven with fierce winds, that they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. The rudder on a ship compared to the ship is very small. And yet, that little rudder runs and directs the entire... A teacher, we're talking about teachers. This is still the subject here. A teacher can send an entire church in a different direction if he's not careful. Do you see what I mean? And he's got to be the one, it's going to say later on in this chapter, he's got to be the one who's meek to God. He's got to be the one who really is like the horse. The Lord directs him which way he should go. He's supposed to discipline himself, his heart, his head, his mouth. The head of a family can take a family in a really, I mean, this is not difficult to understand. You know, people look to those who teach them. If they take you in a different direction than you're supposed to go, how do you figure that out? Well, the reason that you're not supposed to take every word that I say as the Lord, I don't speak ex cathedra. I don't, you know, it's not, you're supposed to think it through yourself with what? Is that what this is? Is that what chapter 3 of James is talking about? My presentation today will be that this is talking about really those who want to teach. And not just talking about every believer is supposed to teach, right? Hold on. Go to Matthew 28. Keep your finger in James. We're coming back. Matthew 28. Every believer is given the mission of the ministry of reconciliation. We are all supposed to share the word with one another and with those around us that don't know anything. In Matthew 28, says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are to go to the whole world and teach. This is every believer. This is the Great Commission. We're ambassadors for Christ, right? Go back to James. This is talking about, so every person's supposed to tell other people about God, His Word, encourage them, share with them what's going on in the Scriptures. They don't have they're not running the whole ship. They're not the one directing this huge animal. Those who want to be teachers, as in what I am doing to you right now, those are the ones that this is talking about. Okay? Says verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold how great a manner a little fire it kindleth. You know, that we had that huge tragedy last fall when the fires ran through the cities in California. Little fire. Thousands of homes, hundreds of people, all in a little fire started, burned down a whole forest, take out neighborhoods, killed hundreds. You know, I mean, we've had examples of that in history, the Chicago fire, you know, the San Francisco earthquake and the fire that was even more devastating after the earthquake. A little thing with the tongue, you start a little fire, you can burn down the whole forest. You get one person that, you know, just little examples, one person that yells out in a crowded theater, fire, It puts everybody in danger, right? People panic, trampled, hurt. You can start rumors. And all you have to do is start it. I remember in high school, I mean, that was probably the biggest knit group I've ever seen. I had 6,000 people in my school. So if somebody came up with a rumor in the morning, by the end of the day, just about 6,000 plus kids knew it, whether it was true or not. I mean, that's like I said, the one example where you got all these people in one building. They all hear it. People's reputations, everything. It's in those little words. It can burn down a whole life. It can destroy a whole thing. Teacher can do the same thing. All a teacher, I mean, you have great respect for someone who's teaching the word, and all of a sudden they throw their opinion in on a particular matter. It's their opinion, but it's taken like this is for real. Again, everybody offends. There's nothing new there, and if you think you won't, you're a fool. But you're to try to do your best to keep it out. There are people who they teach the Bible and they talk about themselves all the time. You know, they want to tell you how great they are. There are people who, and this is not just teaching, by the way. This is anything that you're leading, right? So, it's just super important. It runs the show. And spiritually, God's words spoken on the lips of believers bring deliverance and curses from men to others bring destruction. How important are the words of a father to the children or a mother? I have my own experience is one thing. It wasn't pleasant. Other people and the way I raised my kids, a little bit better. What you say sticks. You tell this kid, you're good for nothing. And guess what? Everybody arises to the occasion to good for nothing. Because sooner or later, you believe it. Why wouldn't you? You have the greatest authority in your life, your parent. Why wouldn't you take their word for it? You might get angry, but you still believe it. You follow me? The same thing goes the other way. The blessing goes the same way. You can do it. God's with you. He'll always help you. All right? You can do anything you set your mind to. Those words will stick to. You decide what comes out of your mouth. But as a teacher of God's people, the one who directs the whole church, you know, James chapter, I think it's chapter 1, in verse 19, he said to them, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And everybody does the exact opposite, right? They all got trigger, you know, as soon as somebody says something bad, triggers them off, quick to get angry. All right? They're always shooting their mouth off, and they don't listen worth a damn. That's the opposite. So God wants us, hey, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Go back to chapter 3. This tongue, it can be like a little fire in a forest. Burn the whole thing down. And it's a world of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity. That's one quite deep statement. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, they can be tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. The one mouth, it does both things. And he's telling the teachers, you go ahead, oh, God bless you, have a one. And then at the same time, you're going to speak evil of the people. Better not. Better think a couple of times here. Better really put it together. Because whatever you do, it's like the big ship is going to be moved by this rudder. It's going to stay on course or off course. But this whole thing's going to go either to the rocks or it's going to go out to sea where it belongs. It's all up to the teacher. That's how grave it is. That's how deeply you have to consider when you teach. That's why the requirements, I mean, just because you got the Spirit of God don't mean that you're not prideful and have to do what you have to do. I have to, as a teacher, I have to think. I mean, look at all the different, I always tried to teach to the person who is the youngest spiritually in the room. I want to make sure that that person gets the message. The older guys will take care of themselves. This is about the little ones. This is not about looking good. This is not about shooting your mouth off and academics. This is not about, oh, look how smart I am. It's about the youngest. So, you know, keep your finger here. Go to, this is all over the Bible, by the way. You know that, right? Proverbs chapter 10. This is probably one of the most difficult lessons to learn. Proverbs 10. And if you think you got it down, be careful. I can get the pages to separate. I can find 10. There it is. Verse, we'll start off in 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. Don't shoot your mouth off. Slow to speak. The less you say, the smarter you are. Or at least, the less you'll offend. Right? In verse 8, in the same chapter, verse... The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a parting fool shall fall. And then verse 10. See, the one that's wise, they hear the word. The other one, they're not doing so well. Excuse me, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth. of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And that's just the if you're acting, speaking lovingly, covers up an awful lot. But hatred, it stirs up strife. Hatred is all over the place. I mean, there's like a gooey hatred all over the place. And there's Ecclesiastes say every place at work, there's a nasty thing, a vanity among men, where there is, what was the word that was used? I don't remember where the verse is. You can look it up. But, there's a contention among those that at work. There's always like a strife that's stirred up to see who's going to one-up the other one. You know, I should get promoted, not you. And then there's this little bickering and that. You know, and it happens on the job. It happens all over the place, right? You watch it in school. I'm the best. And then there's that little bickering that happened. You watch it in churches. People do their bickering. And, they just did that, right? That's terrible. And then you just spread it around. Don't bother talking to the person that you think did it, because that don't help you, because you want to stir it up. You want other people to agree with you first. It's just the way of life. It's just the way life is. Make sure you all agree before we jump on them. Yeah, so... The rich man's wealth, verse 15, is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And the labor of the righteous, it leadeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked is sin. Yeah, he, verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof, he erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. You know, you hide that hatred with lying lips. Like I said, you're spreading it around. And person who slanders somebody else, they're fools. We're talking about deep things that cause fires and change the course of a home, change the course of a school, of a job, the people on it, churches. Everywhere you go, you've known and seen this. And it's true. So the teacher, come back. So the teacher, hey, wise up with what comes out of your mouth as you lead the church. Go back to James. You got those examples. You have, Jesus Christ had to deal with this all the time. But let's go back to James. You remember the Pharisees? Jesus Christ is reproving them. He says, you say, the word says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first great commandment. But you say, whatever it is a gift. For Matthew 15, I got to read it. These teachers changed the word. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. So says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." That's the penalty. "But you say, you Pharisees, you teachers of God's people, you say, by whatsoever shall, and you say, whatsoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me. Hey, I'm taking care of you. For I can do anything I want. And honors not his father and mother, he shall be free." You're taking care of him. Don't worry about it. You're free from that one because you're taking care of their life. It's against God's word. The teachers are teaching people to do something that's contrary to the word. "There, thus thou hast made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you." Do you see what I'm saying? People rationalize things. Or they change. If you're going to, and the Pharisees had led, and they're the major group there during the time of Christ. They had led the people down a path of destruction. Jesus says, you take away the keys to the kingdom. That's why it's so important. So how do you figure this out? Go back to James. The tongue is just the tough, it's almost an impossible thing to discipline completely. There's nobody who is free of guilt and sin when it comes to their mouth. Not that you and I have ever met or known of. This is one common sin that we all do. Doesn't matter who the heck you are. But it's an important one to try not to. Do you follow me? So verse 9. Verse 10. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" See, got a thing. Does a spring come up, have salt water and fresh water in it? No. So the source, remember, out of your heart come the issues of life. Go to other places in the book of Proverbs and other places in the scriptures. It's from within that defiles a man. Not what goes into his mouth, Jesus said, what he eats, but it's that which comes out of his mouth. That defiles a man. And what comes out of our hearts are the issues of life. That's what's in our heart. Right? If you're all bitter and everything, guess what's coming out of your mouth? If you're all worldly, that's what's coming out of your mouth. If you're filled with God's love and grace and you're just teaching, that's what's in your heart. You can tell if your teacher by how he lives. Does he do what he teaches? We're going to get to that. So does a fountain send forth the same sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bring olive berries? Figs produce olives? No. Either a fig vine or figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is somebody who is... wisdom is knowledge applied. He's applying the word, and he's filled with understanding. He's got a perspective understanding is something like a big picture perspective. Let's put it that way. I know how things work. You know, there are people who are so into one thing that they miss the whole forest, right? They're so into their one little tree. You don't study something and learn from the specific to the general. You go from the big picture to the small picture if you want to have genuine understanding about something. I don't know how else to say it. So a wise man, endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his words that come out of his mouth, his behavior, his works with meekness of wisdom. The only way you as a church can tell if your teacher is got anything on the ball or not is you look at the individual's life and does he apply the truth in his life? Is he doing it to the best of his ability? Nobody does it perfectly, again. You know, but is this guy on, you know, is he trying to walk the walk? Because if he ain't, like the Pharisees, you know, they were so cool. The most dangerous place in the world is to think that you're right. It's so hard to change when you think you're so right. You know, remember the Pharisee? They both came to the Lord. One, the Pharisee. God, I thank you that I am not like other men and not like this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all. I'm just so wonderful. And the other guy, the sinner, the publican, he wouldn't even so much as lift up his head to heaven, to God. But he just beat upon his chest, and God said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, that man went back to his house justified rather than the other. That's how you approach God. You think you're, and those are the hardest people to convert. The ones that already got it together. Because they don't need help. That kind of pride, that kind of arrogance. Teacher can manifest that. That's exactly the opposite of what he's supposed to manifest. So the more I've learned, the more I really understand that this is more grace than ever before. So you show it in your walk with God, and you do it with meekness and wisdom. But if, verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. Interesting way of saying, you know, don't teach this thing inaccurately, wrongly. I wrote that. Lie not against the truth. Yeah. Teaching untrue things. Don't do it. If I don't know, guess what? I don't know. There's no shame or dishonor in that for a teacher. But constantly you'll have people come up with difficult things and then they make it up. Well, I think, you know, spiritually we ought to go down this road here. And this probably, you either know or you don't know. There's an awful lot of ways to mislead. You know, when you operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to empty your head. Empty. And, you know, God knows how to put together a sentence. He didn't repeat himself 100,000 times. You know, your best shot is you empty your head and you speak the words he wants you to speak, and it's over, it's over. It's not, and you can only judge it if the Lord tells you, but the point is, you know, whether you're trying to look good or not look good, you know whether this is from your heart or whether it's show in your prayers. You know from your own teaching. I've taught many things that are inaccurate years ago and probably still do. But you know what? Never have I intentionally taught anything inaccurately. I just didn't know. I hadn't learned it yet. Welcome to life. Does that make sense, guys? But the responsibility that is on the teacher is immense. And the judgment on the teacher is immense. Just read, you know, sometime on your own, Jeremiah 23. I'm going to feed you with wormwood because you misled my people. They're better off had they not lived. Yeah, it's a little scary. Verse 14 again. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And don't lie against the truth. Don't teach untrue things. This wisdom descends not from God, not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's where its source is. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. You know, it just makes sense. It's easy to digest. It's full of mercy and of good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's from God. That's what it looks like. You know? I mean, when Jesus Christ told those Pharisees and those nasty things that he said to them, I mean, this will change your life. This will set you on deliverance if you believe what I say. This will cause you to repent. I mean, it doesn't, like I said, it's not always just the way we think, like it's going to be pretty. And this will give you peace with God. It's not talking about an emotional. It's talking about this is the fruit of things that are spoken in truth with wisdom. That's the kind of wisdom that comes from above. Remember when Nathan, I think it was, walked in on David and gave him that story of the little lamb? And how you know, this guy just took somebody else's little lamb and slaughtered it and butchered it. That guy just loved that lamb. And David got all hot and bothered and said, "Who is that man? I'll kill him." He says, "You're the man. You took that other man's wife." Peaceable. Doesn't sound like it, but you know what the result was in David's life? He's back with God. Back with God. That's the end result of wisdom that comes from above. And I tried, because this is so very sweet, I tried to show you the opposite, which is also the same truth. Because most people think, well, if you're not being very gentle with me, then you're wrong. You're the man. That's right. This, you follow me? Just wanted to give you the opposite side of the same truth. And the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of it, is sown in peace to them that make peace. When God's word is spoken, when things are done wisely, when the lips of the teachers speak truth, it comes out this way, and it is righteousness. It is sown in peace of them that make peace, the peacemakers. They're the ones that see God, says Matthew. So I hope chapter 3 was a little bit better understood, and there's a lot more in it, but that's what I wanted to share with you today.